is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello. But
I couldn't wait. I
didn't even get
so
hello.
I'm so sorry. It had to go. Go on, you can go now.
Cool.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Sorry, I'm right.
You're listening to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co. Who invited her?
Was that professional then or what?
No. It's lovely. As you can probably tell, Bird's back in the studio after a long, long break. She was due just be the guest today, but I've coerced her into co-hosting as well. But she is the guest as well, because we want to find out all the things she's been up to. And she's been up to some interesting stuff. Well, you know, Bird, she's always up to interesting stuff, but this is double interesting. And we're going to find out about that a little bit later on in the show. We'd love to hear from you, though. All the businesses out there in the southeast of England, and you can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. You could phone us on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me. Use the hashtag BBunker, tweet me at VanillaWeb, or you could tweet Bird at BirdOnABike_.
Yes.
And use the hashtag BBunker. We have had quite a few tweets.
Why do we have to use BBunker?
So we can find it, you see.
So nobody will get hurt if they don't use.
Yeah, so if they don't use B, because we can search against the BBunker hashtag,
exactly.
You see. I want to say a huge thank you to our new show partners. The Business Bunker Show, very pleased to partner with leading employment law firm Locke Associates Group. They'll be bringing regular news, information and help with employment law, health and well-being at work. If you want to find out more about the Locke Associates Group, you can go to their website, which is www.lochassociates.co.uk, and that's spelled L-O-C-H.
As in Loch.
As in a Scottish lake, yeah. Lochassociates.co.uk. And thank you so much for your support. We really do appreciate it. Well, Bird.
You're looking like a submariner again.
I got my white roll neck on. Yeah.
You have. It's that time of year, isn't it?
Well, no, it doubles as a mask. I just pull it over my head.
No, you do not, do you?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. And you're going too fast. So you did WWW. You didn't give me time to come in with our little...
Sorry, I completely forgot.
You've left. It's like 6 months ago we did this together.
I know.
And how have you managed? How have you found it?
It's been a nightmare. I mean... for a start, when lockdown first occurred, we weren't in the studio at all. Mm-hmm. So I was pre-recording shows on Zoom. That kind of, once we've sorted out, well, I did the first show on my own from home, and that was just a nightmare because
for
I
had no.
Yeah, it was just a nightmare.
Did you get fed up? I'm not being rude. Did you get fed up your own voice?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And you know, keeping it going and thinking of things to say when there's no one to respond. So. That's the difficult thing, is there's no response. So you just say stuff and then you say something else. And then
it's
you
like
say
a monologue, isn't it?
Yeah, and it becomes a monologue. And it's boring for me. It's boring for the listeners. So I didn't like that at all. So I thought, well, the easiest way to do this is to pre-record something on Zoom. That kind of worked. You know, the vagaries of people's internet connections meant that...
Well, we did it. You and I did it.
Yeah, we did one. So that worked for a little while. And then... when we were allowed back to work, what I did is I came into the studio on my own, and then I had pre-recorded interviews that I played around what I was doing live on air. That was okay. But again, there was no interaction in the studio. So it was a bit monologue, pre-record, monologue, pre-record, monologue, you know, end of show. And then in recent weeks, before whatever, who knows what the bloody rules are now, they change them every 10 minutes. I had to go back to pre-record for 2 weeks because I had the temerity to go on holiday.
Yeah.
And when I came back, I was quarantined. Yeah. So I couldn't do it. So we went back to doing Zoom for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And then for the last few weeks, we've been in the studio with just one guest.
Nice.
Why
did you feel so strongly to keep it going with the consistency that you did?
Well, two things, really. One, I think if you stop doing something and then try and restart it, it never really works. And we didn't know how long this was going to last. And two, the point of the show is to keep small businesses informed. And there was so much happening and so many things happening and so many questions being asked. Right back at the front of lockdown, the amount of people that didn't even understand how their business was organised. Yeah, people were going, but I'm self-employed, yet they won't pay me the self-employed thing because I've got a company. Well, you can't be self-employed if you've got a limited company. No, but I am. No, you're not. And trying to explain to... I was deeply shocked, if I'm really honest, just how many people who have been in business an awful long time didn't really understand the nature of how they were in business. And when
I get it.
Yeah, and when the different schemes came along, they got very confused.
Yeah.
And people were getting very upset because they were saying, but they won't let me claim. I'm going, but you're claiming the wrong thing. Yeah?
Yeah.
If you're a limited company, you have to furlough yourself, not claim, self-employed. Yeah. Oh, right, okay. Added on top of that, of course, there's always been a problem for those company directors of small companies that didn't pay themselves a salary but themselves in dividend because the government have completely ignored them.
Mm.
So there was lots of things going on, and I thought it was, the whole point of what we do with this show was to try and keep people informed. And there was a lot of things that people needed to be informed about.
Mm.
And there were a lot of things that the government were just coming out with on a, you know, almost daily basis, and people were trying to make sense of. So I was keen to keep it going for those reasons.
And did people get value from what was being said?
I never know that. I mean, some people say, you know, that was interesting or I found that useful or whatever. The thing is, we got a lot more in the first couple of weeks. Interaction was really poor, and that's because I think people were just on holiday. Yeah, they were going, oh, I'm being paid not to work. I'm not going to do anything.
We had good weather as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then as it wore on and people were just locked indoors, we got lots more interaction, and we get a lot of interaction anyway. Mm. But the numbers of interactors went up significantly with and new people coming along that hadn't listened before. And I think that was a double thing. I think, one, I'm assuming they came for the information, but two, I'm assuming they hadn't ever got anything better to do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So they were kind of listening in, which was lovely. And they seem to have stayed so far, which has been good.
But it's the same as always. Mm. How do you know you don't know something until you don't know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so even though we were saying, said about the companies and the way people set their companies up, they're just going ahead with what they've been maybe told. So if they're being told the wrong information, they don't know that until they're told that's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. And, of course, it's never really... I mean, it's not even that it's actually wrong. It's just that they didn't understand the basis. Yeah, they didn't understand the technicalities of it. What they've got set up is entirely correct. It's just they didn't understand what it was, you know. And
I've always found it really interesting that people don't separate themselves from their business.
Yeah,
they always think that they are the business.
Yeah.
And actually, that's the biggest thing that you can teach yourself is it's actually... I'm not the business, so I can't just take that money. That money belongs to the business, not me.
Yeah. Well, there's two levels of that as well, isn't there? And you're absolutely right. If you're self-employed, you kind of are the business,
yeah?
But you're not supposed to be. If you read HMRC website, they get very tetchy and say, you really, really, really ought to have a separate bank account for your business.
Yes.
But it's no legal requirement to do it, yeah? But if you don't, it gets very messy, yeah? Once you have a limited company, it definitely isn't you. A limited company is an entity in its own right. It is, for all intents and purposes, a person, yeah? And that limited company is an entity, and it's not you. You might own it. You might be a director of it. You might be responsible for it, but it isn't you. And therefore, that's a completely different set of issues. Mm. But you're right. I mean, and people don't separate what they're doing. You know, I had a fascinating discussion early on in this on Facebook with someone.
Discussion or argument or spat or debate?
Well, no, it started off as a piece of information and then it got, no, you're wrong. And then it got, no, I assure you, I'm not wrong. And then it was, bloody hell. And I had a discussion with someone who... came on and said, I'm self-employed, and the government are saying that I can claim up to 80% of my profits, but I didn't make a profit. How long have you been in business? Well, 5 years, and you've never made a profit? Nah. So what are you doing? What do you mean? Well, how do you live? Well, I pay myself. Well, that is your profit. No. I said, yeah, you're not a limited company, are you? No, I'm self-employed. I'm a sole trader. Right. Well, your profit is just the income that you make and what you have left after you've spent on your expenses. No. So I had this argument. And then when it suddenly dawned on this bloke that what I was saying, he just went away in a half and I never heard from him again. Mm. He was wrong, basically. Mm. But he was wrong he didn't understand genuinely, the terminology. Yeah, yeah, and, yeah. And it's not that anybody's done anything wrong with most of these things. They just didn't understand the terminology. So I think one of the things that's come out of all of this is a lot of people are a lot clearer now about how they're in business. Whether they stay in business is another issue. But, yeah, so it's been an interesting journey.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
What are we doing format with the show? Tell me what we're supposed to be doing today. Are we doing the same as we always have?
Yeah, well, kind of. We
20
kind of,
past, we have a song.
Yeah, yeah. I've got some cheesy tunage for you.
So we can keep chatting.
We can chat, but we mustn't talk about what you're doing because that bit comes after the cheesy tunage.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to say about me. Yeah. You know me. I mean, I'm quite happy talking about you.
You could read a tweet if you want.
Oh.
Or you could read an email. Or I'll read a tweet. I'm going to read a tweet.
Oh.
While you're getting ready to read the
next
one.
I'm ready. Telcare's been on.
Well, go for it then.
They've said, ready for a bit of business bunker banter. That's not easy to say. Thank you very much, Lisa. Join Villilla Webb and Bird and a Bike. Can I just say, I haven't said Bird and a Bike for ages because obviously I've got a new company now.
Yep.
This lunchtime, promoting the businesses of Kent. Always grateful for a cheeky radio shout out on hashtag BeBunker. You are very welcome, Telcare Limited.
Fantastic. I've got Kim Stevens tweeting here, Care in Kent. I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker for all the Care in Kent home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. A massive thank you to our Care in Kent teams for their outstanding care and devotion. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. And that's from Kim Stevens. And you can follow Kim on the Twitter at Care in Kent.
It'd be interesting to see what's going on with these virtual venues and what's happening with the events industry. Obviously, I know Amanda's gone in different direction, but it's interesting just reading this email now. So come and visit our virtual venue where we'll be holding V Southeast Construction Expo, which is an interesting one because that was a massive expo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Using the very latest technology, we can offer all the things that made live events work. Come and visit our virtual venue where we are holding V Southeast Construction Expo. We have built a unique networking and learning environment with great contact, live Q&A and informative and expert speakers. So keep the date free for this virtual and live construction expo. It's on the 18th and 19th of November and you need to go to www.wibblywobblyway constructionexpouk.co.uk/virtual construction expo. I see a downside to that.
Yep.
You don't know what I'm going to say.
I do. Go
what?
On. Well, I'm just guessing.
You don't know me. What am I going to say?
I'm just... You're going to say that if we keep doing virtual things, that they'll stay virtual?
No.
Oh, sorry, I beg your
I'm
pardon.
I'm not going to get free pens or the free fuzzy things that you stick on stuff.
You're going to be out of stress balls.
How am I going to get my free pens?
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is, I think events like the Construction Expo Southeast will come back. Yeah.
It was massive, though, wasn't it?
Because it's a massive event, and people have diggers and build houses there, and literally build houses on site.
It's not digger land or anything.
No, but they do. They have construction equipment.
It's fun.
And therefore, as a trade show, it works.
Yeah.
What's interesting is just how many people have said to me, "Do you know what? I'm never going networking again. It's much easier on Zoom." Yeah. People are going, I don't have to get up at a crack of dawn. I don't have to drive 20 miles to go. Yeah, I can do breakfast networking in my gym jams.
It's the effectiveness of time.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the areas that will have a profound ongoing long-term effect of technology. You know, we've perfected Zoom and Teams and BlueJeans and all the other online things where you can have different rooms and, you can recreate an event quite easily online. So I think a lot of things will remain online and the business model will change quite drastically. And how you continue to make money out of those is going to be quite difficult, I think.
Make money out of what?
Things like networking events.
Yeah.
Because normally what you do to make money is it's a breakfast. So basically the breakfast costs you 15 quid and you charge 20, basically.
Okay. Yeah, of course. It's basic sales, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's how you make your income, yeah. Mm. Whereas if you're doing it on Zoom, there is no breakfast, there is no, it's just a freebie. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out in the long term.
So really, I suppose the thing is why would you ever put on an event then?
Yeah.
In that arena, why is that supposedly... to build your network up, therefore it's a sale environment for you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think once we unwind from this, which we have to do at some point,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So the politicians are trying to keep it going as long as possible because they've gone full Stasi.
It's everywhere. And you think he is bad. Can I just say, I'm moving to Rwanda. Mm. They went into full curfew, lockdown, you weren't allowed. I know everybody, the world has done it completely. It isn't just us.
The interesting thing about that, I was thinking about this the other day, because people use that as an excuse. They go, well, it isn't just our government, the French, the Spanish, the Germans have all done the same. Yeah, but if you've ever worked at any level in a big organisation, you know that they all copy each other. And that isn't just a government thing. If you work in a big private corporation, they all come out with the same old cliches, the same old things on the wall, and there's no I in team and all that nonsense, yeah.
No, but there is me.
Yeah, there is an M&E, yeah. yeah, and my favourite one, when I was working for a big corporate, we had a big thing on the wall that said, soar like an eagle. And somebody had written on it, behave like a weasel, they don't get sucked into jet engines.
but, don't get me started.
Yeah, but the problem is with big organisations is they're lazy. They all just copy each other. And if you look at the start of this pandemic, once they all just copied Wuhan. Once Wuhan locked down, we all locked down in the same 2 weeks. Nobody took any notice of what was going on. They all did the same thing, and you find that quite a lot that people will just copy each other to be on the safe side. It's
do you want then, so let's get into it, do you want Boris to go, I'm the leader, this is the way we're going, that's what you want?
That is what I'd like to see from any leader. I know how difficult it is. It's the same problem with expertise. So let me explain what I mean by that. If you say to an expert, how many people might die of this? If the expert said 100 and 200 died, they have no credibility ever again, and people will hound them until the end of their days. You lied, you got it wrong, you made us, If you go 20,000 and only 100 die, you go, there you go. What we did prevented that happening. It's like the apocryphal story on a train, guy sitting opposite is screwing up little bits of newspaper and throwing them out the window. And you say to him, why are you doing that? And he says, it's to keep the elephants off the track. And you say, there aren't any elephants off the track. And he goes, there, it's working. So the problem with expertise is you're almost pushed into overcompensating, yeah? Because you can't be wrong. Yeah, because if you come in under that number, then everybody's relieved. Yeah. If you come in over that number, nobody's going to care because we're all dead anyway. Yeah. So basically, expertise is always the same. It's always the most doom-laden scenario you can have, always. Because humanly, no one would ever go, do you know what? I don't think it'll be that bad. Because they can't afford to. No, psychologically, absolutely. They can't afford to. And professionally, they can't afford to. So they always have to overpump it and then come below it, yeah? And that's one of the problems. And it's the same problem for politicians, that if any politician, apart from the Swedes who did actually do it, but if anybody else stood up and said, nah, it's not really going to be as bad as we think, we're going to try this in a different way. And there was only two or three places on the planet that did that, which was Sweden, South Korea and Japan. As it happened, they all had very low death rates as well. But we didn't really kind of learn our lesson from that. So it takes some real, real cojones to stand up and do that.
And you can't even use the word courage or bravery. No. There is no word that you can action.
Yeah. No, there's not. There isn't. You know, because even a maniac like Trump stopped short of actually, stopping it happening. And if anyone was going to do it, it was someone like him.
Yep.
So I fully understand why they don't, but that lack of leadership is really where we're suffering now. And it's not just a lack of leadership here, it's a lack of leadership across the Western
globally.
World. Yeah. Because the ramifications of what's happened.
Just in case.
But the ramifications are going to rumble on for decades, in terms of unemployment, the cancer deaths, people sadly taking their own lives. Mm. I know more people that have committed suicide than have died of COVID.
Steve and I said exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's a really sad state of affairs, and I can't believe I'm actually saying it.
Yeah. So, strange times.
What can we do to actually just put a little bit of energy into this to go, okay, what's the next step? What would you suggest?
If it was me?
Well, not just in whatever we do now, how can we, move the next step forward?
Well, as people, I don't think we can do very much because the government have now started to clamp down and get very officious, so you get fined instantly for anything and, it's getting quite nasty in terms of what they're doing and how they're policing it. So I don't think we can do much other than follow the guidelines, because otherwise you're breaking the law and you're going to get into trouble. If you ask me what would I want from our leadership, it's to start to be a bit more sensible, yeah? Because too many people are sitting there going, hold on, this makes no sense at all. Hold on a minute. I can go to a cinema, but indoors, with some other people, but I can't go to a football stadium, which is outdoors. Really? Why? I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but it was disgusting. There was a funeral, and the lady whose husband was being buried was in bits, and her son moved his chair to sit next to her, and the people at the chapel went bananas and made him move away. Now, the stupidity of that is, at the end of the ceremony, she got in the car with him to drive home. And she's saying, oh, hold on a minute, this makes no logical sense at all.
I think that would be the sentence of this 6 months, actually. This doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
That's all I can say to people is that people are keep reaching out to me going, what do I do? Blah, blah. Yeah. And I said, this doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. There's no logic.
No.
You understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep people separate so that we don't breathe on each other and we don't touch each other and therefore spread the virus. But the rules that they've implemented to do that are nonsensical. Yeah, because they contradict themselves to a large extent. Like you're okay in a pub up until 9:55, but at 10:05, the virus goes mad, apparently. But you're all okay to go home on the tube together when the pub ends. It's just, and I know that there's got to be a rule somewhere.
Yeah.
And at some point it will seem a bit incongruous because you've got to draw a line somewhere. But have you? Have you got to draw that line? Why have you got to draw that line when what you're trying to do is stop people infecting each other? That's all you're trying to do, if you think about it. But most of the rules aren't even aimed at that any longer. They're just aimed at restricting your liberty. Because if you remember in the early days, there were people arrested for walking on their own in the Peak District. That's just nonsense. Yeah. Anyway, rant over. Look at the time.
Do you know what? You've got me ranting. Smiling away. It makes me laugh.
Well, something closer to home here. There's a quiz evening happening at the Crown.
We can't go, can we?
No, you're not allowed. There's only six of you can go.
We were going to do it, weren't we?
Yeah. There's a quiz evening at the Crown at St. Michael's on Tuesday the 13th of October. That's next Tuesday. You can book a table now on 01580 762 227, and they're raising funds for the Pilgrims Hospice. So that, and you can follow them on Twitter, Crown St. Michael's, Crown St. Michael's, and find out about their quiz evening.
Okay, so sounds of Spitfire. Here we go. He's ranting. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Okay, so we started off with Vanilla Webb Burden a Bike. We actually increased our output to 12 hours live shows per day during lockdown, which is really interesting. Chris, let me know why, because that would be an interesting one. Then he goes on to say it was very valuable resource for information. And I think this is what we all wanted, a little bit of normality. So even though in these uncertain times, we still want some normal behaviour, some things that we actually can feel certain in. The next thing he said was the value of the show should not be underestimated, as some people felt very alone and isolated. So a familiar friend on the radio keeps people buoyed up.
Head above water.
You've buoyed. Got it. A buoy, not a buoy. Mm. And then the value of the show should not be underestimated, as some people, he's just doubled it up. So I agree with you. I think actually sometimes the value of what it was before is not the same value that you're receiving now.
Right.
Do you want me to carry on?
I'll just rant. No, I'm trying. My phone's being stupid.
It says, hi, we have two events coming up which may interest your health and well-being listeners. The Business of Science of Healthcare and Pets of the Aging Population, focusing on health, healthcare, social care and care homes. And you need to register at ruralpolicy.group/red. I want to know what type of events you got. What are they? Are they virtual? Are you doing them live? If you are doing them live, how are you doing them? Also, be inspired, up your game. Women in Business Live with Taz Thornton. Taz specialises in taking businesses from obscurity to getting noticed. She believes anything is possible. Taz oozes positivity and is so much fun. She's doing this on Thursday, the 15th of October, between 12 and 1:30 p.m. And you need to book. And that's www.kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk.
Fantastic. Do you know what? Should we have some cheesy tunage?
It's either not going to be about me. Is it about me?
Well, kind of.
Am I a guest or am I a co-host?
No, you're a guest. You're a guest. So the cheesy tunage is aimed at you, but it won't make any sense until I start talking to you.
So it's going to be in Africa?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not playing Toto.
Did we do that when we announced
I played Africa, yeah.
So is it something beautiful?
It is.
You're beautiful. I love Shania Twain.
Let's go, girls.
I do this on karaoke.
Do you? We'll sing along.
No.
I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise. Really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout.
Getting it.
like a woman. Like a woman.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lockassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Man, I feel like a woman.
It's the best time to.
Yeah, cool. I picked that for the reason that it was a woman-related song.
Right.
Which is kind of what I'm going to talk to you about now. So it's an absolute pleasure to...
Am I being a guest now?
Yeah, yeah, to welcome our first guest onto the show.
How exciting.
The stonkingly lovely...
You're right.
Sarah Ann Lucas, formerly known as Bird on a Bike.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
No.
Are you still Bird, though?
Yeah, I've been that. Yeah. I don't know when I wasn't.
Yeah. So, tell us.
Do you want me to interview myself as well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, ask yourself some interesting questions. There's a good girl. So, tell us about your evolution. Tell us about your journey. We're going to talk about your books in a moment, your women books.
That sounds wrong. Do you know what I mean? It's like women things.
Women books. No, I've been facetious and you know I am.
Have you seen that advert? Have you seen that? I've just got, because it is the, it makes me laugh every time. It's the Tampax advert. And it's just, even though I'm a woman and I go, oh, it's just on the wrong side of the line.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know, yeah,
and
yeah.
That's what you've just done there. We're going to talk women things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Girly
and it's got
stuff.
The face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know where your teeth come out. Got women things.
No, I want to know about the evolution of your business and where you're going, and also I want to talk about obviously the book and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So why don't you bring us up to date with Bird? And the former Bird on a Bike.
Beautifulbravebody.com.
Yeah, beautiful brave bodies, yeah.
Just body. Just one.
There's only one. Yeah. I guess it's not my body, it's just your body.
It's just mine.
Right.
Well, okay, so as we know, I was leaving in the middle of April.
Yeah.
To go to Rwanda to obviously support my beloved.
Yep.
And changing the business from... client-based speaking, also radio show, also producing content online.
Yeah.
Was knowing that I probably wanted to take the business more online, but I'd already done I did a a program online that sold really well. But like anything, if you don't focus on it and continue the sales, it drops off. It doesn't matter how great the product is. Yeah. That wasn't ever my focus. So really, I loved this. Mm. This was my space where I loved the radio, I loved the podcast, and I could see it going bigger and bigger, really. Mm. And was getting approached by some really great platforms to take the show, wasn't I? I was going to really take it off Channel Radio. So that was my show, The Conversation, and move it onto more of a podcast base, bigger platforms. Not being rude, but it's the truth. And that's where it was going. Then, obviously, like everybody, lockdown happened. And I was had my books coming out, and I had a 5-book deal.
Just before you go on to that, is the plan still to go to Rwanda when you're allowed?
2 weeks' time we go.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Fantastic. Yeah. Because like a lot of Africa, they just completely locked down.
This is what I'm saying to you. Yeah. So you think we had lockdown.
Yeah, they had total lockdown.
They had lockdown. They had curfews. You weren't allowed on the streets.
Yeah.
And if you're not allowed on the streets, you don't want to be on the streets either, you know.
Yeah, sure.
It's very, it's a different world.
Yeah, yeah. But then, funnily enough, Sub-Saharan Africa hasn't had that many COVID cases, and that's, you know, partially why.
And there's a debate on that as well.
Yeah.
You know, you could go into...
Yeah, their numbers aren't exactly reliable, yeah.
Yeah, yes. The measure that they use, what are they... It's like measuring yourself on scales.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As long as you
step... with 1 foot on the floor. Yeah.
Ooh, that's what I am.
Yeah.
So... post-lockdown, where are we now? So everything's the same, really.
Yeah.
Just had to adapt and grow in a different way. So when I was moving to Africa, I was taking my business completely online. Hmm. So that was the focus. I was going to be writing my books. So the 5-book series of Seeking the Wisdom of Woman was going to be the focus. And literally, you know, the business of teaching one-to-one or teaching one-to-many. And that would be... well-being, if you want to package it up in a nutshell, was going to be no more, which obviously lockdown stopped anyway.
Yep.
So Bird and a Bike stopped, and I knew that I was always going to call the company Beautiful Brave Body because it meant a lot to the audience that it was for, and you aren't my audience really, Paul.
Am I not?
Not.
Oh.
So it was for women's
empowerment. Are you trying to say I haven't got a beautiful, brave body?
You have, love. You have.
well, it's enough of it.
But it was for women's empowerment. It was a space to be the writing, you know, really creating media content that people would connect to and do something with rather than just going, oh, yeah, that's really good. And I've put on many events. And it was always the missing link for me. Mm. I don't want to just put on an event and you go, oh, this is a great time to be in, and then lose people when they've gone back to their non-existing supportive environment.
Yep.
And you see that, and I learned that years and years ago with doing Tony Robbins or all that. Mm. You'd be there in the rah-rah of it all, and the minute you go home...
Yeah.
You're lost
it's
in
gone.
A sea. So there's always a missing link, and I wanted to be that support.
Because one of the problems with things like that is you get very excited and very fired up by it, and you go home to an environment where the people haven't been involved.
You've got it.
Yeah, and you go, ah, and they go, oh, just put a dinner on.
Well, you must have felt that when you did your motivational speaking. Fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what would happen. You know, people would get very fired up and go, I'm going to do it. And then, I'd talk to them afterwards and they went, when I got home, the cat had been sick and, you know, and life just impedes and it just disappears again. You're right.
Yeah. So you've got this captive audience as a speaker. Mm. You speak to them and there's no accountability.
Yeah.
There's no consistency. And those are the two things for any adaptation in what any part of life you're in.
Yeah.
So I knew that I wanted to do this. So let's get it where it is now. So Beautiful Brave Body was born. I literally bought and this is, honestly, I was listening to a few things and I could hear women say these words to me. So it's like, right, okay, let's use these words. It wouldn't be a company name that I would have chosen. The company isn't for me. It's for the end user.
Yeah.
So Stephen and I were off for a weekend. Oh my gosh, this time last year. And literally it was like, oh, let's just go on and buy the domain name. It's never going to be available. Boom, there it was. I was literally in the car on the way to going away for the weekend. But right, that's booked. And that's how for me, it was done. So business is done. Right, okay, so that's going to be the change of that. So beautifulbravebody.com was born. And I then knew that I was writing the books anyway. I'd been writing the books forever. And people think, oh, have you not written the books yet? You've got no idea how long a book takes. And even just to, let alone to, before you do, to sit down and write it, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, are you one of these people that enjoys the process of writing, or do you struggle to get it onto the page?
Yes.
Both.
And that's the honesty. You know when people go, oh, I just sit there and I just wrote it? Really?
Yeah.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Honestly, because if I told you the process, I look back now, I was reading the book and I'll go to Stephen. Do you know what? When I had the final print in front of me, I was going, I am a genius. Like, but if you ask me, did I write that? Now, I'll look back and go, it must have been this moment. It wasn't.
But do you also, I'm fascinated by the process. As someone that can't write to save my life, and I just detest, I don't even like writing emails.
But you're the greatest reader.
I love reading and I love talking, but writing is just not
your medium.
No, it's not. But when I'm forced to write things, I write something and then I read it and I think, oh, that's horrible. And I'm never satisfied with what I've written.
Yeah, don't edit. So this, if you want to, so let's look at Seeking the Wisdom of Women. It's a 5-book series. It's on 5 women's decades. So I've taken 10 women in each of their age decade. So the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds, 50s,
so
and 60s.
Have you got 2 20-year-olds? Is that what you're saying?
No, I've got 10 in each.
Oh, you've got 10 in each. So you've got 10 20-year-olds and then 10 30-year-olds.
Yeah. You got it. Well, not just in that 1 year, but in that decade.
Yeah.
And I interview them for 2 hours. So do the math. That's 50 hours of, you know, then you've got to take that information and you've got to extract it. So what I've done is each book is just the decade. So, for example, I've got the 50-year-old that is going to be out in 2 weeks' time.
Right.
And there's a story why it isn't out this Thursday. It was supposed to be out this Thursday.
Yeah.
There's a massive error in it. So that's where, if you want to go paralysed by perfection, it needs to stop.
Right.
Anyway, oh my God, we could talk about this forever. So, beautifulbravebody.com is an online programme. It's a consistency. It's not an, it's got a short, sharp, hitting 5-week programme, and then you go on to the subscription.
Right.
I am not there going to you, you've got to do this and then you'll be saved and, oh my God, you have this amazing energy and blah, blah, blah. You've got to stay with it. You've got to be with me whenever you want. And it's a membership site. So you dip in, dip out.
Yeah.
It's really cost effective. And that's what I want. I want to sell to many rather than to the few and price yourself out of the marketplace.
Sure,
I've done that before with my one-to-one and it worked brilliantly. But that's not the model I want to do now in business.
Yeah.
So that's that. And then obviously I've got a radio show that I'm due to start over in Rwanda, which is very exciting.
Oh, wow.
Which is just going to take over the conversation. And that's fine.
Is that on Rwanda Radio?
Yeah. FM. And then, so life is going to be the same.
Right.
Just a little bit different. And then my books. Right. So yes, the book Seeking the Wisdom of the 50-Year-Old Woman is out in 2 weeks.
Yep. Seeking the Wisdom of a 50-Year-Old Woman.
Go on, say it.
No.
Funny.
No.
Go on.
No. I'm going to ask you a sensible, serious question.
Do women have wisdom?
Sorry?
Do women have wisdom?
No. I wouldn't dare say anything like that because it would be a silly thing to say.
It's funny. Come on. What?
Is it, in talking to the 10 women through their 50s, was there a consistent theme that came across? Or was it a sliding scale? As they got towards 60, did they start to change?
Okay, so there are 21 poignant questions that I asked.
Right.
And what I want to do, there's two. So I wanted to compare and contrast. Does what matter to me now, did it matter back then?
Yeah.
So then that's why I want to know these decades of women. My daughter highlighted this to me. So she's 22. When
this is new. Yeah.
News, yeah. Yeah. When this idea came about 2 years ago, and I think this is what it's really important for people to see. I started this 2 years ago, this process of, I've got this idea. Actually, I'd like to know that question. It takes that time before I even sat down to write the first book. And this first book is really the blueprint then for the four that are coming. So it will be easier to write the next four. Mm. So I asked 21 questions to the same questions to 10 different women in each decade. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And then what I did is it's all anonymous. You don't know who the 10 women are. Most of the women, I don't even know. I just put out a thing, who would like to be interviewed. I do an NDA, so I do a non-disclosure. Not for them, not for me, but for them. Mm. I don't want them to ever be discovered who they were, because I actually use direct quotes. Right. So I lift out real words so that they're not just my perception of what somebody else has said. So it's the truth of these women.
What was said.
For sure. And there are 21 questions, and we look at the trends, and we look at, oh, wow, really? Is that what you said? And some brutal truths came out. Mm. And I'm brutally honest in it as well. So I actually say at the end, where I bring it all together, that I was disappointed.
Really?
Yeah, I was.
And what were you disappointed with about?
That we haven't moved on as much as I thought we had.
As women, or?
Yeah. I really thought, because we're all in this, we've had a few guests that have turned around and said to me, why are you in women's empowerment, Bird? You know, haven't we done all that now? You know, we don't need to be this anymore. We don't. You've got, you know, you're there. You're equal now.
Yeah.
That would be the honest. I get quite a lot of people saying that to me. And I was surprised how little movement we have made.
Okay.
And I was disappointed with it.
And you're gauging that based on the attitudes and...
I can only say it from the 10
women. No, I get that.
And also, let's be really brutally honest here. This is not a white paper. This is not a qualitative or quantitative research. Mm. This is a conversation style that I interviewed at the time, and I did it not in face-to-face. I didn't want to see their faces. I wanted to just hear their words. Mm. So I didn't have a personal, you know, I didn't have a coffee with them and read into them what their language, oh, they were saying that, but they didn't mean it. Mm. None of that. I literally just had their words, and it's fascinating.
I'm not going to get into a rant here. I'm not.
Please do. But it's funny.
But it's just, again, something that struck me and I read about and thought about a bit myself is this, what has now been termed virtue signaling, where people say things publicly, because it's the zeitgeist, So you get, no, I'm an empowered woman, or I'm this, or I'm that. But people don't actually feel it. They just say it because it's the thing to say.
Of course.
If you see what I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
But it, you know, in the depths of the night when they're sitting there, Jim Jams, drinking a cup of cocoa on their sofa, they don't feel how they say they feel, if you see what I mean. Because
they're saying what they think you want to hear, but actually not living and breathing
exactly
what it actually truly is.
And you find that quite a lot, that all of us do it. We all do it to some extent. We say what we think we should say rather than what we feel or what is really happening in our lives, because it's easier. It's easier just to go with the flow.
Well, you started off with that with the experts. They're saying what they think you need to hear just in case they're proved wrong.
Yeah. And you see that. And the more the you could do a book on what 60-year-old men think.
No, don't. I am. When I started to do this, and I was saying to Stephen, he said, well, what did you find? I was like, listen to this. Because I was shocked. Because I speak to women all the time. I get to see the whole of women, and they tell me stuff, and I'm like, wow. You know, my nursing background as well, there's not much that I haven't seen about a human body or behaviour. You can't, you know, I'm still shocked, which I love.
Yeah.
But even Stephen said to me, you've got to ask men these questions, because actually their perception would be different, or their answers might be different to this. So after this, I'm not going to go and do the whole 5-year, you know, 2.5-year process again. I'm just going to ask one man in each decade.
Absolutely. And this is my prediction. Yeah. Men have a slightly different approach to this, but they're worse at, men are worse at, this is a stereotype, but men are worse at saying what you want to hear. Yeah, they'll tell you all kinds of man things, that they don't necessarily feel, in themselves. But, you know, you've got to be macho, and you've got to be up front, and you've got to be this, you know, it's a syndrome of...
The imposter syndrome, isn't it?
Alpha male.
Yeah, it is alpha male.
Yeah, yeah.
That masculinity mask.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they don't... But a lot of men don't actually feel it.
No, for sure.
They just say it because it's what you have to say. You know.
Especially now with these undefined roles that we have now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably one... There's lots of things. Oh, my God, we could talk about this book forever.
Yeah.
It's really exciting. One, I want to talk about the book, and two, about the process.
Yeah.
Things I got right, things I got wrong, things I've still got wrong now that you had to have, oh, well, put the brakes on this. That can't go out like that.
Yeah.
You know, but it got to that stage through those eyes.
Yeah.
How did it get there? You know? Yeah.
But I'll come back to the question I asked you. Which you didn't actually answer.
Did I evade a question? Yeah.
No, you didn't. You were very fulsome in what you were saying, and it was interesting what you were saying. But what I was after was there a consistent theme? Was there a consistent thing that came across?
Yes.
I'm gutted. Are you going to tell us what it is?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I am gutted.
Really?
Yeah.
They like doing ironing?
Don't, because the back of the book, right? I'll get the back of the book in a minute. But on the back of the book, I said, yeah, I'm an ardent feminist writing this from my kitchen table. I promise you it's on the back of my book. Because I want you to see there is great humour.
Yeah.
And as much as I believe in rising, it isn't, and this is absolutely, it is not to the expense of men lowering.
Absolutely.
It is, we rise.
Yeah,
so you've got a responsibility.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a responsibility to be exponentially great.
Yeah.
But I'll go back to the question because I'm not evading it at all. This is what I found. Tolerate.
Right.
That's the verb, to tolerate.
Was this advice they were giving or how they were living their lives?
Guess what my answer will be.
How they were living their lives.
No. Yes to both.
All right. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes and yes.
Okay.
So and then again, it took me off in another angle. Is how do people have long term love?
Right.
How do you stay in a marriage?
Because
it's evaded me.
Yeah.
I've failed at it. So how have you done it? You, the third person. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah. And was there an answer to that?
Tolerate.
Right. Okay. Fear.
I tell you, we could talk about this.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I'll tell you what, I'll get the book out in a minute and I'll ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah, okay, that would be great. That would be great because we're kind of fast running out of time. But, you know, it's a shame you are going to Africa because once the book's published and people have bought it and read it, I'm sure we can have some really fabulous discussions about it.
We could do this virtually.
Yeah. Could do it on Zoom or whatever, and we will do it because...
And also the way I'm selling the book now is totally different. So I've got a sales team now to sell.
Right, okay.
I literally am now going to be... And there's another story. I've been absolutely... I'm taking somebody to court because they've stolen money from me for marketing.
Really?
Seriously.
Bromley, you don't do anything by halves, do you?
No.
You don't, Bird. You really don't.
But you have this in business, don't you?
You can't
do that to me in business.
Yeah.
You do the right thing, people, and you have to have a line. I was only talking to a client this morning about this. There's a line.
Yeah.
And my line might be different to yours, but that's where I'm going to go. And actually, you can't do that. You can't take somebody's money and not at least produce some type of work for it.
I've funnily enough, I heard an exact example of that. Somebody told me the other day they had been sued by a marketing company who said they'd engaged them before lockdown to market something they were doing, and then lockdown had stopped it happening, so it just didn't happen. The event didn't happen. No marketing took place. The people wrote and said, you need to pay us for this because we've got a contract. I said, but you didn't do anything because we weren't allowed to do anything. Yeah, it doesn't matter. We had a contract.
Wow.
I just think, what? Mm. Are you bonkers?
It's so interesting.
Yeah. So, the book, when's the book, the first book?
Well, the book was due out on the 8th of October.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be really honest about this. So, whenever you get a book, it's a really exciting thing. There's a painful process that has gone on before. Yeah. There's a timely thing. Anyway, we can talk about that. Basically, it turned up in the post too small. the book. So it's not a normal size book. A normal size book is 5x8. And I wanted these to be smaller,
right,
pocket size.
Yeah, yeah.
So that they were only going to be 15,000 words, which didn't work out. So they're actually now 23,000 words.
Right.
And I thought, right, I'm going to have it a 6x4. I've got it with me. You'll go. I can't tell you what my mental turnaround said, because it is brilliant. What he went, well, that's. Mm. So anyway, it's too small.
Right. Okay.
So I had to put this, and I got it, and I was like, you know when you try and make yourself like something and you go, yeah, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. You can put it in your inside pocket.
It's never fine.
Yeah.
It's never fine.
Yeah.
So it needed to be stopped. So now that means that it goes back to the typesetter. I mean, it can be rectified. We're not too far down the line. Mm. But it just means that the launch date is 2 weeks' time.
Well, we're looking forward to it, Bird. I certainly am. I'm going to buy my copy.
You can feel it now.
Yeah,
you can feel the smallness of this one.
I'm going to buy my copy because I'm fascinated by this, and I'm fascinated by to read the stories and read the advice and read the thoughts.
It isn't just for women, can I just say?
No, of course not.
There's a lot in there you'll go, no way.
Trust me, every bloke in the world needs this.
Needs to read it, I tell you.
You know, we're particularly not totally brilliant at reading people, blokes, I mean. So everybody needs to read this. I just think it's a really, really clever
and
idea,
you know what?
And really fascinating.
Yeah, and also you saw me say to you about the idea.
Mm.
And the biggest thing I would say, like, for example, my son, I just dropped him down to Bristol yesterday, Jack.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's moved to Bristol. He's got a job down there.
Oh, wow, cool.
And do you know what? He wanted to do that. And I said to him, do you know what? It doesn't matter if it doesn't work out for you. The fact that you've made an idea, you've created this idea, you've gone ahead and done it, and you are absolutely playing in that idea, that's it. There's nothing else to explain, is there?
True. We could talk about this forever, but...
We've got another hour.
Well,
and I'm the only guest.
Yeah, no, but
I'm the co-host.
Yeah, I have got a recorded interview to play.
No way!
In part two.
They're boring,
Come on. Sorry, Tim.
We love you,
she
Tim.
Doesn't mean it, really. We've got an interview to play after the break, after 2 o'clock break. We're going to join in the newsroom fairly soon, but we will catch up some more with Bird and talk more about this during the rest of the show. I've had a tweet from Athel Bray who say, hello, Vanilla Web. Fingers crossed, we're actually listening live for a change today. If anybody's looking for training for their teams, either virtually or within guidelines for safe distancing face-to-face, give us a call on 01892 832 059. That's 01892 832 059, or follow them on the Twitter, Athelbrae Limited, ATHELBRAELTD. Give them a follow on their Twitter. I'm just trying to catch up with some of the tweets. Fruitworks, hi, Vanilla Web, Bird on a Bike. Can we have a Business Bunker shout out, please, for our brand new Fruitworks meeting Zoom rooms for video call meetings? The Zoom rooms are ready. Find out more and hear a message from our CEO. That would be me. kentbusinessradio.co.uk/zoom-room. Do check that out.
I've got pre-orders already.
Have you?
Ethelbray,
fantastic.
I love you so much. Do you know what? And there's another thing. The website's only just gone up with a pre-order button. Anyway.
Very quickly, Tracy Ann Barker, Tabba_official. It's that time of the week again, Vanilla Web. I'm sure it'll be another great Business Bunker show. I'm listening live today. It's been a busy few weeks training another group of managers. Have a great show. So thank you very much. I'll tell you what, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got another guest to talk to, and we're going to talk some more to the lovely Sarah Ann Lucas, a.k.a. Bird. But let's join the newsroom. He says pressing the wrong button.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.
Boris Johnson has addressed the virtual Conservative Party conference. He's made a pledge to make energy generation.